God, our Father in heaven. We continue now in this day, Lord, to worship thee and to lift up thy most holy and precious name. Father, we are thankful for days that we have such as this, Lord, where we set it aside and focus upon thee and that which is eternal and have thy word before us and come together as a body of believers, corporately together, Father, to worship thee and to magnify thy name and to sing of thy praises, to read thy word, Father, and to have fellowship one with another and to offer our prayers unto thee, knowing that thou dost hear us as we come before thee. So bless this afternoon, Father, as we would read and meditate upon thy word. We ask thy Spirit's presence as we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon's reading, let's turn to the first epistle of John and read chapter number 4. 1 John, chapter number 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. May God. Much of what we experience in this life has to do with the relationships that we have one with another, and truly those are things that we hold very dear in our lives. Other things in our lives come and go, perhaps even places where we live or vehicles that we drive or other things of life. They all come and go. But relationships are very important in our life, and the Bible speaks to that. And if you do a search in the Bible for one another, that you see that it comes up quite often in the Bible of one another. And so if you look at what it is that we are to do one with another, it's primarily that we would love one another. It speaks also of washing one another's feet, or exhorting one another, or admonishing perhaps one another, forgiving one another, but all those point to having love one to another. And so this chapter that we read this afternoon also speaks to that as well. Three times in this chapter it speaks that we would love one another. This is what's critical. This is what's very important. And this is what the Bible is calling us to, is that we would live this life where we would have love one toward another. We read in this chapter also that God is love. That's who God is. And he loves us, and he's asking for us to have love one for another as well. And so we had a beautiful chapter this morning, and very many good principles were written there in that chapter and that we can understand in King David's life. And perhaps we can refer to some of those things as it speaks here of the love that God has toward us and the love that we are to have one toward another. We began this service by singing this hymn where it says, implant thy holy love, and make us yearn for things above. Remold us to thine image fair, that we may once thy presence share. We are to be molded into the image of our Savior, of our God, and he is love. And so we are to have that his holy love implanted in us. Dear Savior, only love from thee can keep our hearts in purity. The Father's image true thou art, make us like thee, pure, mild in heart. This is who we are to emulate. This is who we are to strive to be as, having the Spirit of God implanted in us, directing us, operating in us, that we would share of his love that he has shown unto us. So he begins this chapter by giving us an exhortation not to believe every spirit, but to try the spirits whether they are of God. And very simply, he's simply saying here that if someone's confessing that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh, they are not of God. It's not more complicated than that. It's not more, perhaps even deeper than that. It's simply, if somebody's saying that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh, then they are not of God. And so there'll be voices, and John, the Apostle John, says here that the Antichrists are already in this world. And they are there, and those voices have been there, and they continue to be in our time now. But as we have God's love within us, and we are operating under his Spirit, and we are his child, then the Bible here is saying, ye are of God, and have overcome them. Those voices of the Antichrist will be there, but since we are of God, we will be able to overcome them. And we don't overcome them by being smarter than them. We don't overcome them by any other means, by having a stronger platform to which to broadcast our message from. We don't overcome them in those messages, in those methods. But we overcome the voices of the Antichrist by being grounded in the Word of God, by allowing his Spirit to work in us, by proclaiming his truth. And to those who are in this world, it will fall on deaf ears. But those who have a yearning to know the Lord, they will hear that message. And so we are to proclaim that message. So let's remember that we are of God and have overcome them. And that, because the second half of that chapter the second half of that verse, we are very familiar, where it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. We're very familiar with 1 John 4:4. That's a very prominent verse that we like to keep with us. greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But the first part of that verse says that we are of God and have overcome them. Let's not forget that portion of this verse as well. It says that they are of this world, and they therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Those that are of this world, this is it for them. That this is what they know, and this is what they yearn for, and this is what they revel in. This is it. This is it. They are of this world. And so they speak of these things, and the world hears them. They hear each other's voices, and they listen to each other's philosophies. But we who are God's, we know that we have something far greater than what this world will have to offer. And so our hearts are yearning for those things which are eternal. And we're looking far beyond what this life can have. And so the voices that are in this world, they don't mean much to us. We look to the Word of God. We look to see what does Jesus Christ say. And know that his words are eternal. And we look far beyond what this world would have to offer. And leave those that are of this world to the things of this world. Again, in verse number 6, it says, just as it does in verse number 4, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. After the Lord Jesus Christ had ascended and went back to his Father, the disciples were commissioned to go and propagate the word, to starting in Jerusalem and then to Judea and to the uttermost parts of the world. And so they did. And it was so that the word of God did go forth, and so he says here that their message went forth, the Apostle John, and there were those that heard them not, but those that knew God did hear the message that the apostles had as they went forth and propagated the gospel. And then in verse number 7, he speaks here of God's love and confidence in this love of God that we have. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Let us love, because love is from God. That's where love comes from. And we'll look at some verses here that speak of God's love, but this is where God's love comes from, or the love comes from. It comes from God. And so he's saying, love one another because love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. So as we would love one another and share in this grace that God has given unto us, then we know God. We know him. And we were born of him. Then he says here, very important verse number 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is how God's love was manifested. Not so much that he created everything that we can see in the beauty of the earth. That's love that we can partake in the beauty of his creation. But his love was made manifest. It was revealed to us that he sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. This is how God made his love manifested. This is how he revealed his love to us, in that he sent his only begotten son into this world that we through him might be saved. This is God's love for us. And so we think of familiar verses such as John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world, he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This is the revelation, this is the display of God's love for all mankind, that whosoever would believe in him, in Jesus Christ, would have eternal life. The verse that follows that says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God wants us to be saved. This is God's desire, is that we would be saved. And he sent his only begotten Son into this world and to suffer in this life that we might be saved, that we might come to the knowledge of the truth, that we might be in his presence throughout all eternity, that we would not have to face the consequences of sin. And so he's making this revelation. And that's the beauty of God's love that he has for all mankind. And so we think of other verses where the Bible says that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were in that sinful state, when we were in the despicable state of sin, filthy, dirty, undesirable, worthless, and so many other adjectives of that nature, that's when God loved us. He loved us in that state, in so much so that he sent his only begotten son to die for us. It wasn't that we cleaned ourselves up to a certain measure and then presented ourselves to God and said, okay, God, you can take over from here. It was in that state of sin that we were in where God commended or showed his love toward us. This is the love that God had for us in sending his only begotten son, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Ephesians also speaks of his love that he has for us. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. This great love, I just appreciate the wording here, the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He made us to be alive together in Christ. This is his love that he showed toward us, that we might be with him and that we might feel that forgiveness and that freeing of the condemnation of sin as he forgives us and as he manifests his love to us. Then John also here in this same epistle in the previous chapter, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. This is something that we ought to pay attention to. He's saying, behold, pay attention to this. What manner of love is this? It's a great manner of love that we should be called the sons of God. We who were outcasts are brought in and into the love of God. Just as it was where the children of Israel fled the land of Egypt and they came into the land of Canaan, and God dispelled all those nations that were there in the land of Canaan, and he had great love for his own, and those were all cast out, the Ammonites, the Moabites and Edomites and all of those other people, they were all cast out. And we were as those that were cast out. We were of those Gentile people. But God commended his love toward us. He showed unto us his love in sending of his only begotten son. I feel a great inadequacy of the ability to speak of the great love that God has for all of his creation. We see it in the scriptures. And we know it, but the depth of that love that he has for us is greater than that which we can mentally comprehend. And so he's speaking here of this great manifestation of the love of God that he had toward us in sending of his only begotten son. And then he's saying, and herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love that we would have, though it might be an appreciable love, that's not the love he's speaking of. He's speaking of the love of God. The love of God. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. It's amazing to think that he would love us, who are a people who have wicked hearts and turn away from him. And as we read this morning of David and how Nathan told him, you know, God was saying, I gave you all these things. And if that wasn't more, I would have given you, if that wasn't enough, I would have given you more. And that's the love that God has toward us. It's not about a love that we have, but that he loved us and sent the Son to be that appeasement for our sin. There is a penalty that needs to be paid for our sin. There is no sin that cannot be left alone. There has to be a payment for that sin. And that sin was paid for. It was appeased. It appeased God. Jesus Christ appeased God for the sin that we had. And so that's love. That's love. Our sins were paid for, and that payment was made by Jesus Christ, whom God had to send to make that payment for our sin. This is love. And so he says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And so now we come to that realization that God loved us, and he loved us with such a great love that he was willing to part with his Son and allow his Son to take upon himself flesh and blood and be in this life and to be ridiculed and suffer so much. That great love that he has for us ought to propel us to have that same love in our hearts as well. And so therefore he's saying, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." This is that one another. This is that relationship that God is calling us to, that as he has this relationship with us in sending of his love down toward us, he's saying, now take that love and spread it among yourselves. If he so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Jesus Christ told his disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." To the measure that he has loved us, he's saying, this is the new commandment. This is the love that you are to have one toward another, is the love that Jesus Christ had toward us. And so that's the calling that we have, and that's a very high calling. It always was in time of history of the Anabaptists that they one thing that really and clearly defined them was the love that they had, not only among themselves but toward all, even to those who would do them harm. And so it is no different today that we are being called to love one another. And so we go then to the two greatest commandments, that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And so he's calling us to that love that we would have one toward another. And now again, following that verse where Jesus Christ speaks and says that a new commandment I give unto you, that ye have love one toward another, even as I have loved you. And then he says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love that ye have one toward another." So this is the witness that we will have when we have love one toward another. And so we think of King David from this morning, that he didn't have that love for Uriah the Hittite. He did not have that love. And it allowed the people to blaspheme. It allowed others who were witness to what David did to blaspheme. But when we have love one toward another, it brings about not only a curiosity, but a witness, a good strong witness of us as God's children, that we dwell in him and he dwells in us, and that we are of God and have overcome the false teachings of this world. And so the Bible has approximately about 40 different authors that have contributed to the fullness of the Bible. Different times, different places, but yet we can see that it's the same Spirit of God that worked in each of them as the Bible was written out. And so each one spoke as they were directed by God. And so we see that Jesus Christ truly brought forth the words of God, and he tells us that he gives us a new commandment that we would love one another. And then the Apostle Paul also says that I don't really need to tell you this because you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We are taught of God that. And so that's what Apostle Paul had written in his epistle. The Apostle Peter also wrote in his epistle of the love that we ought to have one toward another, saying, seeing ye have purified your souls into obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. With a pure heart fervently. Consider those words for a while. With a pure heart fervently. This is what the Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has exhorted us to, that we would love one another with a pure heart fervently. God is dwelling in us. God is love. And so he's calling us to have a love one toward another with a pure heart fervently. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. We haven't seen God. The Apostle John, though he was there on the Mount Configuration, he heard the voice of God, but he didn't see God. And others have heard the voice of God, but they didn't see him. And so he's saying here, no man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwells in us. We don't see him, but he dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. And hereby know we that we dwell in him, as and he in us, because he hath given unto us of his Spirit. His Spirit will operate in us, and his Spirit will direct us into his ways. And his Spirit will always teach us and show us and speak to us that we might have love one toward another. That is a truth that we can be assured of, that his Spirit will show us that we are to love one another. And so his Spirit operates in us. And if his Spirit is not in us, Romans tells us that we are none of his. And he says here, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I just really appreciate this, that the Apostle John has written this, because he's testifying. He's saying here, we have seen this, and he has witnessed a lot of things, the Apostle John. And so one thought that came to mind is remember the time that Jesus and his disciples were making their way down to Jerusalem, and they needed a night's rest in Samaria, and the Samaritans of that town knew that Jesus' face was to go toward Jerusalem, and he wasn't going to be tarrying there. And since he wasn't going to be tarrying there, they said, no, you can't stay here. And so John here and his brother, they said to Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven like Elijah did and destroy these people? They won't let us stay here for the night. And Jesus' response to them was, you don't know what spirit you are of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy lives, but to save them. And so that, and for certain, had left an indelible impression on the Apostle John that Jesus Christ came to save. To save. And so he writes here, and he says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And many other things that Jesus did as he showed himself to be the Savior of the world. And so John is saying here, I have seen it, and I'm testifying that God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And then he says here, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And perhaps this second half of the verse 16 here is a good summation to this chapter and to the thoughts that are expressed here. That God is love. That's who God is. He is defined as having as being love. God is love. And if we dwell in love, we dwell in God. And God in us. And so this is very profound, and this is something that we need to remember and have in our hearts at all time, because the carnal nature comes up, and it comes up often. But we need to listen to the Spirit, and he will direct us that we are to dwell in love. God is love, and we are to dwell in love. And when we dwell in love, we dwell in God. And God dwells in us. I'm reminded of that verse in John 17, how the prayer that he had to his Father closed, and he says here, I have Jesus Christ speaking to his Father, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus Christ is praying that great, great love that the Father had toward the Son would in no wise be diminished, but that that same love would be in us likewise, and that Jesus Christ would be in us likewise, and that we would be in love, and that we would dwell in God, and God in us. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus Christ is, as the Father is, so are we in this world. God is love. Jesus Christ came in great love for all mankind. And so as he is, so are we in this world. As that who defines Jesus Christ, as that who defines our Heavenly Father, that is who we are in this world. And so we overcome the Antichrist of this world. So we know that we are his, because as he is, so are we in this world. When we've been converted, we've repented of our sins, we are baptized and we're walking in the newness of life, that our identity is gone. It's perished. It's not about us, and it's, that's gone. But we are portraying Christ in all things. And so that's what he's saying here. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So are we in this world. We are displaying the great, great love of God. We love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. When we were in that despicable state of sin, he loved us. He truly loved us. And so in return, then, we love him. And so Jude had a concluding thought in his epistle where he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal love, unto eternal life. So he's saying here, and we are being encouraged in this day too, also, that we would keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep ourselves in his love, that great, great love that he had for all mankind, that we would love him and love others likewise. And so we think of King David, the love that he lacked toward Uriah the Hittite was a bad light, and it caused the people to blaspheme. But when we can love one another, we can allow others to glorify the Lord. And so we are to be kept in that love of God. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.